Hi, I'm Mac.
Hi, I'm Abigail.
And this is Unsubs.
This is the podcast where we recap, rate, and review all 324 episodes of Criminal Minds. And today we're talking Season 5, Episode 13, Risky Business. So when I initially was writing up this episode, I was like, this is so fucking bad. But then Abigail was watching it and she kind of got me hyped for it.
It's ridiculous and I love it. All right.
Well, my fun fact is there's this lady at my work who just gets fucking pumped and excited about things. And she got a hold of the office birthday list. And she's like a newer employee. She's been here probably she's probably going on almost a year. And so she got the birthday list. And so everyone gets like a personalized gift on their birthday from her. She like if there's a holiday like Valentine's Day, she'll fuck it up. Anytime there's like a staff thing where there's food, she brings a ton. And lately I've gotten involved with her and this like little lunch group where we all get lunch. And she just like fucking will go for it. Like if we're getting pizza, she's getting garlic knots and chicken wings, you know, like if we're going to go, if we're going to order sandwiches, she's getting like extra sides. I have a coworker whose birthday was coming up and we told her about it. Well, we told the lady who I'm not going to say her name in case someone ever hears this, but so we told her about it and she was like, I'm going to make a lasagna. I was like, what? We were going to like do a card and everything for the other coworker. And she was like, I'm going to make a lasagna. I'm going to get a cake. And I was like, you're an animal. Like you are out of control. Like she loves to party. Like she fucks. She does. I love her. And then she gets me hyped on it. So, but I love that her immediate response is like, I'm going to make a lasagna. So anyways.
I love lasagna. I made lasagna for Mother's Day.
I love lasagna too. What's your fun fact?
I don't know.
Do you feel comfortable sharing the thing that you were going to do today? Just because I think it's a wild, crazy story.
Yeah. Yeah. So one of my friends and I have just been going through it a little bit, and she mentioned in passing that she knows this woman who she met through her friend who is a psychic. She has met this woman and met her through a friend who is a like ancient Lebanese woman who lives in Lebanon and is a psychic. And has been a psychic for, like, I guess her whole life. She's done readings for my friend before, and she says that, like, all except for, like, two kind of minor things have, like, come true or been accurate. I was like, oh, that's cool. Like, could I have a reading? Like, thinking that, like, nothing was gonna come of this. And she was like, yeah, sure. Like, I'll have to ask my friend because I guess the friend who, like, translates for her is, like, in a different country. And so we would have been playing with, like, three different time zones. And I was like, oh, boy. And then I was at work yesterday and she texted me and was like, yeah, let's do tomorrow morning at 6 or 7 a.m. And I was like, because what? I almost had a like psychic reading this morning between 6 or 7 a.m. but then it just started to like wig me out a little bit too much. And like I've been to psychics before. I remember when I was like a freshman in college, maybe I went to like two psychics in 1 week so I could cross-reference them. It was fun, but like this just started to wig me out a little bit too much because like one of my friends and one of my coworkers was like, oh, well, like, you know, you don't have to believe what she says. And I was like, but I won't not be able to. Like, I won't, like, you know, it's like, it's one of those things where it's like, well, once you said it, I'm gonna trust you. So I just was like, I don't know if I can actually handle this. So I canceled and was like, maybe we'll reschedule for another time.
The level of anxiety this appointment gave me on your behalf was overwhelming.
It was giving me so much anxiety, actually. And that's why it's like, I told a couple other friends and they were like, I'm really glad that you like trusted your gut and didn't do it. And I was like, thanks. Like, you know, it would have been exciting to hear, but like, I just was like, I don't think I can like emotionally handle like hearing something I don't want to hear right now. And like the whole thing was just starting to really stress me out. So I was like, no.
We do have a listener thought.
Hiya, baby.
Hey, baby girl, we need to talk.
PG or NC-17?
You're on speakerphone.
I charge extra for groups.
So this is sent in to us from Mo.
Hey, Mo.
Hey, Mo. And they wrote to us and said, okay, love y'all so much. And I mean this with all the love in my heart. I am obsessed with the fact that you pronounce Patinkin as Patinkin, with an extra T every time you say it the whole time that Gideon's on the show. I'm re-listening to the pod now. Thank you for re-listening.
Well, they're re-listening? Holy shit.
And just had to Google it to check that I wasn't losing it and I hadn't been the one pronouncing it wrong. Love y'all.
All right, so I've known that I've been saying it wrong since I probably started this podcast because my family has been like, you're saying it wrong. And I was like, fuck you, because I'm the worst. I would not listen to reason. I feel like I infected you, but now I can't even remember how I would say it. Mandy Patinkin. Patinkin?
Patinkin is how I say it. But now, because as you said, it's canon now. Now us mispronouncing Gideon Mandy's name is canon.
So that is how we will pronounce it. I think I'm just thinking about it too hard because now I'm like Mandy Patinkin. Patinkin? All right. Well, I can't believe you're re-listening to the show. Sometimes I just get exhausted even dealing with myself on a daily basis, and I'm not even listening to me. If you have a listener thought about how we're saying anything, let us know. And you can find the link to send us stuff on our website or in our show notes.
Hiya, baby.
Hey, baby girl. We need to talk.
PG or NC-17?
You're on speakerphone.
I charge extra for groups.
Rating criteria.
And our rating criteria is as follows, as always. Criminal/serial killer, character development/character arcs, forensics and context, script rating, and background characters.
And we are in no way, shape, or form associated with the television show Criminal Minds or Mandy Patinkin. We're just big fans. And I have met him. I've met his wife twice. Just
saying. You have.
Okay, get ready, guys. We're about to get into some risky business.
Risky business.
We open in Evanston, Wyoming. We're listening to dramatic music.
The song is Enemy by Flyleaf.
We're in a teenager's room. We're looking at trophies and vision boards, and we realize that we are looking at two different teenagers' rooms. We see the boy take off his headphones and he stops playing video games. The music swells. We see the girl get up and lock her door, and we see that she's got a blue parakeet who watches on in horror as both the boy and the girl kill themselves. Cut to BAU headquarters in Quantico, Virginia. We see JJ get a call and she says dramatically, okay, I'll see what I can do. Then she pulls a red jewelry box from out of her desk and opens it up. And inside it is this golden locket, which she puts around her neck. JJ then goes to Hotch and he tells him that a Sheriff Samuel has reached out to her from Wyoming.
I'm not sure what we have here, but I just got a call on some case files from a Sheriff Samuel and he went to County Wyoming. 6 nights ago, 2 different teens were found hanging in their bedrooms.
Hanging?
Trish Leek was dead when she was found. Ryan Krause was revived on scene, but then died a few days later in the hospital. I know we don't handle suicides, but the previous Friday, two more boys a few towns over were found hanging on the backs of their doors.
Four successful suicides in the same rural county in a week. That's way above the national average.
I know. These kids don't fit the pattern. No drug or alcohol abuse, no antidepressants, and no prior arrests. These are just plain good kids who decided to hang themselves at approximately the same time on a Friday night. When someone feels trapped in what feels like a hopeless situation, pulling the trigger or swallowing pills or hanging yourself seems like the only way out. None of that seems to exist here. Something's really wrong. Hodge, I can feel it.
We cut to the unsub, making CDs. So obviously this is a very sad case and suicide is no joke, but we're going to have fun in this episode, and this episode is ridiculous. So we don't mean to be offensive when we're making jokes, as this is very serious, but I'm going to make a lot of jokes in this episode. Cut to the BAU private jet.
Hey, girl.
Garcia's on the jet.
It's not that I'm not glad to be coming with you, because I am. I just don't understand why.
One of the aspects of an equivocal death investigation when suicide is a probability is an indirect personality assessment. Our victims are all internet generation kids. There should be invaluable personal data on their computers to mine for the evaluation.
If they committed suicide, evidence of it will probably be in their cyber world.
So I'm going to snoop through dead kids' computers?
This plane seldom makes pleasure trips.
We've opened over the files that talk about victimology.
Okay, all four kids were decent students from different neighboring towns, but the same school in the same county.
Active in sports and community.
Intact families, no mental disorders, no precipitating events.
These are just average good kids. There has to be some underlying issue.
Besides relative proximity, there's no obvious connection between any of them.
Seems to rule out an overt suicide pact.
The first few days leading up to a teenager's suicide are usually very telling. Their behavior is transparent. There's a multitude of indicators.
But the most common don't exist here. There's no prior attempts, no period of deep depression, no withdrawal from family members, no spontaneous proclamations of love.
Spontaneous proclamations of love?
Sometimes a suicidal person in the days leading up to the act will just blurt out, "I love you," to family. It's sort of like a goodbye.
Hotch is allowing the team to work the case under the banner of what's called an unequivocal death investigation, which is basically a personality assessment of those who have died under unusual circumstances. He tells Garcia that she is here to, quote, mine the data of the teenagers because they're of, quote, the internet generation. To which I said, okay, boomer.
Oh my God, literally.
Cut to Wyoming, and the BAU meets with Sheriff Samuels. I don't know if it's Sheriff Samuel or Samuels. I should know. I did watch this. I'm going to go with Samuels now. I'm changing my mind. Doing a fucking 360. Sheriff Samuels. Fucking come at me. She advises the BAU that there's been a reporter hounding her for information. The BAU tells her to hold off responding to the reporter and advises her to be careful about releasing any information regarding this case. Morgan says, quote, sensationalizing these deaths may cause a domino effect with other kids. And here's another great read quote. Abigail, you want to take this one too?
Okay, the term is suicide contagion, the spread of suicidal thoughts among a group of people that sometimes results in copycat acts. It's especially prevalent among teen cases.
The BAU splits up to talk to the families of the most recent victims. JJ Hotch and Prentice speak to Trish's parents, who tell them that Trish was really excited to graduate and even take her SATs, to which I say, nerd. Prentice asks if Trish had a boyfriend, and her father's like, no, and at the same time, her mother's like, yes. And it turns out that Trish ran up over $100 in phone charges texting her boyfriend last month, and her father grounded her, but he didn't know that they were dating. He says that if he hadn't grounded her, she would not have died by suicide. So just to be clear, we don't use the term committed suicide. We say died by suicide, death by suicide. I was doing some research on it, and it's just the terminology apparently makes a really big difference to people who are suffering with suicidal thoughts. So they say committed. I'm going to switch the term in all of our quotes. So JJ says, quote, if your daughter had died from suicide, it wouldn't have been because of a punishment. And Trisha's mother is like, if? What do you mean if my daughter had died from suicide? Garcia then delves into Trish Leek's laptop. Garcia finds that Trisha was, oh God, here we go. All right. Strap in your seatbelts, guys. Pull your hair out of your face. Put it up in a bun. Get it out of there. Dust your glasses off. I don't know. I don't have glasses. I don't know. Get ready. Here we go. Are you ready?
Ready.
I'm not ready. Okay, we're going to do it. Garcia finds that Trish was on a, quote, choking game site the night she died.
I was not ready for that.
And suddenly, we're all talking about choking games like we've been aware of them our whole lives. It's very, like, hashtag Bo. Garcia says, quote, it's a game kids play where they choke themselves to get a buzz, to get high.
What is it?
She was on a choking game site the night she died.
A what?
It's a game kids play where they choke themselves to get a buzz, to get high.
They call it the good kids high. You get lightheaded and a sense of euphoria even though no actual drugs are involved. It's something kids in high school play.
Did Ryan have a computer?
Not in his room.
What about a gaming system?
Yeah, he did.
Teenagers will find a way to get online.
The IP address.
Oh. Bingo. Ryan was on the same site on the same night.
It wasn't suicide.
Even though Ryan didn't have a computer in his room, apparently he used a gaming system to go on the choking game website, as one does. And Garcia goes on the website and she finds this like creepy text to voice thing on it. And I'm like, how does this work? Because, like, we're talking about technology that wasn't that advanced. And, like, you're not telling me that this, like, was, like, just a standard voice that was available for text-to-speech. Because I fucking use text-to-speech, and I could tell you that this is not the voice. And the text-to-speech voice goes, come on, try it. We all do it. I dare you.
Come on, try it. We all do. I dare you.
I dare you? Someone was orchestrating this.
It's so spooky, though.
Yeah, it's so creepy. And Prentice is like, someone is orchestrating this, encouraging kids to choke themselves to death. And I'm like, where the fuck? What is happening? Cut to some really bad Matrix CGI stuff. We're going inside the computer.
Oh my God.
We're hacking into the choking game database. We see a bunch of teenagers at their computers participating in the game. And we hear that same little creepy text-to-voice thing going, make sure you close your door. Tomorrow's the big night. We're all gonna play the game. And Garcia is like talking about how is this a whole like team subculture around the choking game. The kids make up names for it and they do it at parties. And I'm like, have the writers of this show ever met a teenager?
The school that logs the most high time this Friday wins.
Friday tomorrow.
Get your friends on board. Practice makes the high last longer. Gotta do it alone and video it with your webcam and upload it to the site for it to count.
Doing it alone requires ligatures. He's basically encouraging them to play the deadliest form of the game with no one there to revive them.
Garcia, shut the site down.
Sir, I can totally do that, but I don't think you want me to.
Why?
Right now, this site is our only way to track the unsub, and if I cut into it, he will certainly know we're watching him, in which case he'll shut it down. He'll write a simple change in code, bring it back up in a more covert fashion. Plus, there's no telling how many servers it's replicated on anyway.
Kids must do it alone, video themselves, and upload the videos to the website. And I wrote, unsubs be streaming. Are you ready for the profile?
We believe the unsub responsible for these deaths may be a teenager. He is a loner. He doesn't participate in team sports or group activities. He's withdrawn with very low self-esteem. His only form of pure interaction is online. He engages in activity that draws attention to himself, yet isolates himself from his peers. Parents and teachers should watch out for the warning signs. kids with bloodshot eyes, marks on their necks, severe headaches, disorientation. In real life, he considers himself a loser. In cyberspace, he can pull strings. It makes him feel powerful. He's choking himself and daring others to do it, so we're most likely looking at a reckless homicides here.
Reed then travels to a local area school to teach the children why manual strangulation is bad. He talks about strangulation and hyperventilation creating the same effect of oxygen deprivation in the brain. And Morgan is also there as backup, and he sees this kid texting, and Morgan's like, what are you texting about? And the text is, what planet is this dude from? He doesn't want us to win the contest. And Morgan is like, this is exactly what we're talking about. And Reed is like, no, actually, I don't want you to win the contest.
What planet is this dude from? He doesn't want us to win the contest.
I think the more accurate statement would be he doesn't want us to participate in the contest at all. This was Ryan's desk, right? This is where Ryan sat. Remember Ryan? He played football, took Sean at a prom. I'm assuming that some of you were probably even friends with Ryan. Ryan wanted to win the contest too, but when Ryan choked himself, he cut off all the oxygen to his brain, which sent a distress signal to his heart, slowing it down. Then his brain, in an effort to preserve itself, shut off all non-essential bodily functions. His arms gave out, his legs gave out, which means that he couldn't loosen the tie around his neck, at which point panic set in. And in Ryan's case, it escalated to cardiac arrest, which means that his heart stopped. Brain damage began, and within 4 minutes, he was completely and totally brain dead, scared and probably in a lot of pain, and unable to stop what he thought he had complete control of, all because he wanted to participate in what I consider to be a pretty lame game. So, I mean, your text is actually completely accurate. I don't want you to win the contest because I don't want you to play the game.
You all believe this crap?
You don't? Why don't you come up here and tell us what you think?
Whatever.
Then there's this little goth kid in the back of the class who's like, you all believe this crap? And the kid's wearing a choker around his neck and he has a mohawk. And I'm like, so this kid definitely listens to Dante, right?
Right.
The kid like runs out of the class and Morgan chases after him. And I said, now that Morgan is not in charge, he's allowed to tackle people. So he's about to tackle this kid, but then the kid trips over a cart and Morgan's got him. And then the kid has marks all over his neck, so he has been participating in the choking game. However, he has so many scars on his neck and they're all different colors, and that indicates different stages of healing, meaning that he's been choking himself for a long time. So the BAU thinks this kid, whose name is Christopher Summers, is the unsub. So at the hospital, Christopher's hot father shows up. He's hot. He's a hot man.
I thought he was okay.
I felt that way about Mr. Wallace in the last episode, but you didn't hear me saying that, girl. This is a supportive space where we can be as horny as we want, and then we just publicly announce it to everyone.
Oh my gosh.
Guys, write in. I think he's hot. I think he's a hot daddy. Anyways, so Reed and Sheriff Samuels have to explain to Christopher's hot father about the choking game, and he's like, what the fuck is happening? And Reed then asks Christopher's father, quote, how long has Christopher been dressing in the gothic fashion?
How long has Christopher been dressing in the gothic fashion? The black nails and the eyes and the...
A while. He's been having a rough time.
Why's that?
His mother died a few years ago, and he's been wearing black ever since.
Does Christopher spend a lot of time on the computer?
Just every waking... Why?
We think your son may have created a website encouraging kids to compete in this choking contest.
Reed then starts interrogating Christopher, but does not get very far. Also, shout out to Criminal Minds for allowing the parent to be present before they start interrogating. That's a fucking first. Also, the vibe is kind of sexual with Sheriff Samuels and Christopher's father, whose name is Wilson Summers. I'm like, have they had sex? I don't know. I feel like they've had sex and now it's awkward. But that might just be me imposing my desire for this man on someone else. I think that's more telling of the author than anything. Christopher's father gives Christopher's computer to the BAU, and Sheriff Samuels goes over to the house to collect the laptop. And she tries to be supportive, and she tells him, don't worry, I'm sure this will all be cleared up. And as we cut away, we see that there is a big stack of CDs next to Christopher's computer, meaning that Christopher is the unsub. Back at BAU headquarters, Garcia is given Christopher's computer and starts getting into the hard drive. However, she has a hard time cracking into the security system, so she's having trouble getting into the system, and kids are playing the choking game. They're uploading videos to the site. So Hodge then tells Garcia that she's a funky pastel goth. She should talk to Christopher. And she's like, I don't know. I've never done this before. And then she's very quickly like, okay, I'll do it, which is very me.
Hi there. I'm Penelope.
Good for you.
Can I sit down?
You're the cop.
I look like a cop to you?
Yeah. What, you aren't?
No. FBI tech analyst. I just have some administrative cyber crud to go over with you. Just a geek at.
Cool.
Time is a great healer.
You have no idea how I feel.
Well, I lost my mom and my dad when I was about your age, so I don't know. I think I have a pretty good idea. And I felt totally alone until I found the netizens.
B-T-T-T.
I'm not lying. It'll totally get better. BTW, I like your nails.
Thanks.
And then she tells him, quote, I felt totally alone until I found the netizens. Get it?
Yes.
Do you get it? Because mm-hmm. It's like this, the citizens of the internet. Okay. And then he goes, BTDT, which I had to look up because I'm an older millennial. And apparently that means been there, done that, BTDT. Then she starts flattering Christopher and tells him she likes his earrings. And he's like, oh, it's from that Johnny D. pirate movie. And I wrote, excuse me, what? Is this kid just telling us that he bought the earring from the Johnny Depp pirate movie? Like the earring that Johnny Depp allegedly wore on camera during Pirates of the Caribbean? Excuse?
But like, I looked it up and I was, because I was like, I don't think he wears silver hoops in that movie. And I looked it up and I didn't see any photos of him wearing silver hoops in that movie. So,
I also looked it up and I could not find images of him wearing hoops either. That's a lie, but watch as people come for us. Remember what we said about Detroit and Canada, girl? We can't fall to and twins, girl. And remember how we were saying Mandy's Patinkin's name wrong the whole time? So who knows? Garcia then goes over this tech mumbo jumbo with Christopher, and he kind of just seems like he's yesing her and just pretending what he knows what she's talking about. And just then Daddy Christopher shows up and he's like, we're getting Christopher a lawyer. This is crazy. And as Christopher is leaving, he gives Garcia his Johnny D. pirate earring. And then he tells her that he still misses his mother from time to time. And Garcia realizes that Christopher was giving her the password to his computer, which was his mother's name, Cynthia. Meanwhile, the rest of the team researches the Summers family. They look into the death of Christopher's mother, Cynthia, and they find out that she actually was in the ER repeatedly leading up to her death. She would go in and recover in the ICU only to go home and get sick again. And they couldn't figure out what was wrong with her. They also get Christopher's medical records and discover that he has been choked and revived again and again. And shout out, girl, it's Munchausen's by proxy.
Munchausen by proxy in my good episode? More likely than you think.
After gaining access to the computer system, the BAU recognizes that there are two distinct writing styles utilizing the same screen name. One is clearly a teenager and the other is more sophisticated. And they're like, so Christopher is being manipulated by his sexy father? And guess what? His father is a fucking EMT who works Friday nights. So he goes to revive the children after they accidentally strangle themselves to death because he told them to. And they're like, he's keeping the videotapes of the children as trophies. And then Sheriff Samuels is like, and I slept with him. No, she doesn't say that. She goes, I was in his house and I didn't see anything. And I'm like, yeah, girl, you fucked up. The tapes were right there. So then the BAU think that Christopher is going to kill himself. And JJ, I don't know how they get there, but JJ's like, Garcia, did he give you anything? And Garcia is like, yeah, the Johnny D earring. The BAU is like, okay, so Wilson Summers is going to need to download the videos from the website where the children are choking themselves. And I wrote, really? You guys think that this is his number one priority? Like, he's going to stop being on the run to download these videos of children choking themselves? Like, what? And then through leaps and bounds, they think that Wilson has taken Christopher to the cemetery where his mother Cynthia is buried. And I'm like, this can't be right. And the BAU is like, yeah, he's going to take Christopher there to choke him. And Christopher is going to let his father kill him. And I'm like, no way. That's too crazy. It's not going to happen. And then cut to the cemetery where Cynthia Summers is buried. Inside a chapel, Wilson Summers is getting ready to stream and download some child choke videos. And then he sets up a noose for Christopher and he's like, you know the drill. This won't take long. And I'm like, I guess the BAU nailed it. That is exactly what happened. How did they know? How did they do it? Cut back to inside the chapel, and Wilson Summers is not able to download the videos because Garcia's fucking with the website. So he starts choking his son, but the BAU shows up in time to save the day, and Christopher is going to be fine. And I wrote, so glad they literally knew exactly what was going to happen. Cut to the BAU private jet.
Hey, girl.
Hotch talks to JJ and thanks her for pushing the team to take this case. JJ then reveals to Hotch that the necklace she put on during the beginning of this episode was something her sister gave her when she was 11.
My sister gave this to me when I was 11. She just came into my bedroom one afternoon and told me that no matter what happened, she loved me. This was her favorite necklace, so I told her I couldn't take it, but she insisted. I, of course, was secretly very happy because I always wanted one just like hers. It's the last time I ever.
I'm sorry.
I think about her every day. It does get better, Hotch. Losing someone is never easy.
This is some very upsetting, very distressing character development for JJ, but I actually thought it was really good. And I like to see, because JJ, we forget how fucking smart JJ is. And I thought it really made sense for her to like be the driving force behind this case. And I thought that that was really, really good, actually.
Yeah.
Girl, do you have a deep dive for us?
So this is Seven Dangerous Games Parents Must Know About.
God.
The Cinnamon Challenge. The Choking Game. Are your kids playing these high-risk games? So they talk about how, like, oh, well, you all know about drugs and alcohol, but what about these so-called games?
I'm sorry, I didn't realize the choking game was an actual thing.
I didn't know it was real either. So this, what they talk about it is, this deadly game involves cutting off oxygen supply to the brain through strangulation for a brief high. Some teens have done this using their hands or a noose, either alone or in groups. Quote, "There's no room for a learning curve," Alfred Sacchiati, chief of the emergency medicine at Our Lady of Lourdes Medical Center in Camden, New Jersey, says, "because the very first time, you can die." Sacchetti, a spokesperson for the American College of Emergency Physicians, says, quote, "The real danger with this is actually getting it right the first time. Now your impression is, I'm smarter than those people who killed themselves. They aren't as good at it as me. You think, I can push it farther. I can set my noose tighter or longer. I bet I can get even higher. A recent CDC study analyzed 82 probable choking game deaths nationwide over a period of 12 years. The study found that the average age of kids who died was 13, and those who died ranged from the ages of 6 to 19. Nearly all of them, 96%, were playing the game alone when they died, even if they first played it with a group of friends. And 87% of those who died were boys. And then the next one is the cinnamon challenge.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of that one.
Which is, as they, the way they describe it is, this unusual challenge has been shown in countless YouTube videos. It involves swallowing a spoonful of powdered cinnamon without taking a drink of water. The spice dries the inside of your mouth, making it nearly impossible for anyone to succeed. Most people immediately cough a huge puff of cinnamon-colored powder. Some people vomit from the strong flavor, others have coughing fits after breathing in the fine powder. In rare cases, people are hospitalized after inhaling the powder into their lungs and need to be placed on ventilators. But some teens can't wait to try it out and upload videos of their own experiences. The next one is huffing or dusting. And it says, by the time they're in 8th grade, 20% of American children have intentionally inhaled common household products such as glue or cans of compressed gas used to clear computer keyboards to get high. So basically, that's just finding fun substances and huffing or puffing. Next one is car surfing, which was popular because of Michael J. Fox's character dancing atop the roof of a moving vehicle while the Beach Boys' Surfin' USA blasted from the radio in the 1985 movie Teen Wolf, giving creative name to the dangerous game. And then three more questionable party games are Mumblety Peg, which I've never heard of, which has been around for generations. In one form of this game, a player spreads their fingers on a table, then stabs the spaces between them as quickly as possible with a pocket knife. So I think I know what this is. I've just never heard of it.
Yeah, I've seen it.
I've never heard of it being called that.
Mumblety Peg.
The next one is Chubby Bunny, which I think I may have played when I was younger. The newer game requires someone to shove as many full-size marshmallows in their mouth as possible and then enunciate the words Chubby Bunny. And then the next one is the ABC Scratching Game, which requires at least two people. One person must name words that begin with each letter of the alphabet for a given topic, while the other person scratches the back of their hand to distract them. And they're like, these aren't fatal, but they're dangerous. Mumblety Peg means stitches. And so then they say, you should talk about it. Have open lines of communication with your teen to ensure their safety. Let's rate this episode.
What do you think about the criminal slash serial killer, Sexy Wilson Summers?
I was not expecting that twist of it being his dad. And I don't know how I feel about that, honestly.
We don't get a lot of the dad. I frankly think it's ridiculous at the end where in the midst of all of this and he knows he's being suspected, he's like, let me go to this church right quick and download these videos and just casually choke my son. Like, that was ridiculous.
It kind of lost me at that point, but I loved everything up until then.
Yeah, I mean, I just feel like he should have just gone on the road and gone on the lam, and that would have made a lot more sense than sticking around. But, you know, I don't know. Like, I feel like a 12.
Yeah.
You know, 10, 12.
Let's do 12. Character development, character arcs. We got the JJ stuff.
I think we have to give it a 20 for that, because I like that we are getting some JJ that's not just, I have babe.
I have babe and a husband.
Handsome.
Handsome husband with a nebulous name.
Yeah, girl, I still don't know what it is.
Forensics and context, I loved it. I want to give it a 20.
Okay.
It's so ridiculous, but like the thing, okay, here, this is why I love it. It's so ridiculous and over the top, but that shit's real. Like that, like the game literally exists. We didn't think it existed, but it does. And people do get hurt and accidentally die. Script writing.
Listen, Johnny Depp, sorry, Johnny D. I love that they were like, listen, we're not going to pay Pirates of the Caribbean We're not going to pay Pirates of the Caribbean. We're not going to pay them to mention the movie franchise in our famous show. We're just going to vaguely allude to it, and we're not even going to get the costume choice correct. Is it Caribbean or Caribbean? I don't know. See, Mo, you got me all fucked up out here, not knowing how to say shit. I'm like standing there like, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, they always say like Pirates of the Caribbean when they're talking about the franchise, but it's Caribbean in like IRL.
Got it. Yeah, Caribbean, like a carabiner.
Oh, I should rewatch those movies. The last time I watched them was when I was recovering from my COVID vaccine.
Orlando Bloom is trying his best. We do Orlando appreciate
Orlando Bloom
that.
Is there looking hot, and I appreciate that.
Yeah, he's doing the best he can do. He's really putting all the effort into it. He's just not quite nailing it, you know?
Like, that's why he doesn't talk in Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, he's really trying. But they're like, let's just have him there. And then he's like, what if I said more things? And they're like, no, just chill out. What are we going to give the script writing? I don't know, man. I thought there were some really cringy things in this.
There were some really wild lines in here.
We could consider Johnny D's earring from the pirate movies a background character and give that a 20, and then give script writing a 5.
Yeah, I think let's give script writing a 5, and then let's give background characters a 20, because I also liked Christopher. 77.
Well, guys, if you want to write in with any more pronunciation tips for me, clearly we need them. We love it when you guys write in. It's always so exciting. Whenever we get a notification, one of us will, like, screenshot it and excitedly text the other, like, oh my god, we got it, someone wrote in. So, super cool. Also, we do have a Ko-fi. If you want to send us $5, that's cool. We get it that people don't have monies right now, but if you got $5, $3, or $1, and you want to, like, send it to us, that would make us feel good. That would be cool. Otherwise, follow us on some podcasts everywhere. Follow me, yournewapartment@tumblr.com.
And you can follow me at Between Stage and Screen Podcast and all on Instagram and all screen plus
streaming. Screaming.
So we do a lot of screaming.
Girl, you're all tuckered out, but you got a whole recap ahead of you coming up.
Oh, yeah.
Shit. All right. Well, we got to get to it, guys. We'll see you in a couple days. Bye. Bye.